Living on Earth needs your support to be heard each week. Kindly give what you can today by using the donate link to the left of this page. Thanks.
Lead is a neurotoxin linked to disorders such as lower IQ and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And now there is more compelling evidence linking lead exposure in the womb and early childhood with violent crime later in life. These latest findings come from researchers at the University of Cincinnati and Cincinnati Children's Hospital. For almost three decades, they've been following a group of Cincinnati residents, more than 90% of them African American. They grew up in neighborhoods with high lead contamination, mostly from the dust of deteriorated lead paint in older apartments and houses. Living on Earth's Ashley Ahern reports.
It's Sunday morning, and City Council member Cecil Thomas is here at Christ Emmanuel Church, where he comes for his weekly dose of hope and renewal. Serving as a police officer for 27 years in Cincinnati, Councilman Thomas watched the violence grow, seemingly without rhyme or reason. The new research linking lead exposure and violent crime gives him one potential explanation.
The environment as a totality really pretty much dictates a lot of our problems as relates to crime and things of that nature. Because when you look at the areas of our city that are most affected by crime, and then you look at the buildings that are tainted with lead poisoning paint, then you have to start thinking, well, maybe there's a link between the effects of lead poisoning and the overall crime rate, especially in the inner city neighborhoods.
Cecil Thomas knew it was time to make the jump from police work to politics when he started arresting the kids and grandkids of folks he'd arrested years before. He says the findings of the Cincinnati lead study offer a key avenue to understanding the violence he saw during his time on patrol.
If lead poisoning has a direct impact on the ability to make decisions in a much more rational way, then we're on to something, so to speak. And being a former law enforcement officer, you know, some of the times I would say, what's missing here? I recall an individual was on his way to the symphony, and this young man came up to rob him, but it wasn't enough just to rob him. He then beat him to death with a brick. Now, this young man is a product of that environment because he lived down in the over the Rhine. So you have to ask yourself, well, was lead poisoning a factor in this individual committing such a crime?
Dr. Kim Dietrich and his team at the University of Cincinnati are working to answer just that question. They took the criminal records of the 250 study participants and compared the numbers of violent crimes with the levels of lead each participant had been exposed to throughout his or her life.
What we found was interesting. The most robust and significant associations were between early exposure to lead and arrests involving violent acts, some sort of violent, aggressive behavior.
But they needed the why. What might lead be doing on the physical level to the brain to cause this violent, aggressive behavior? At Cincinnati Children's Hospital, Damon's lying inside the giant white cylinder of the MRI machine as it takes thousands of pictures of his brain. Damon grew up in Over the Rhine, a neighborhood of downtown Cincinnati where run-down brick buildings line the streets, many of them contaminated with lead paint. He's been participating in the Cincinnati lead study since before he was born. Now he's 28.
I remember the cab rides, the trips with my mama. It's just something I've been doing since I was a little boy, and it continues.
The lead Damon was exposed to may have affected the size of certain parts of his brain, the frontal lobe in particular.
The frontal lobe is the part that probably makes us the most human, in that it's executive functioning, attention, inhibition, reasoning, judgment, kind of overall control.
Dr. Kim Cecil is a professor of radiology at the University of Cincinnati and works with Dr. Dietrich. She's found that children with higher lead levels have smaller frontal lobes as they reach adulthood. She says that may be because lead takes the place of calcium in the brain.
It interferes with many enzymes that preserve the neurons in the brain, so it stops the healthy maintenance of neurons, and then neurons can die. And it looks like a shriveled up brain. So in a way, it looks like a person who's much, much older.
Older as in closer to senility, not older as in more mature. Young men like Damon show more volume loss to the frontal lobe than young women exposed to similar levels of lead. But women are by no means exempt from lead's effects. Like Damon, Laquisha's been participating in the lead study her whole life. It started with her mom taking her to regular appointments at Cincinnati Children's Hospital.
Ma, come here.
It wasn't easy, as a matter of fact. You know, I was living over the Rhine downtown in a rehab. It was the paint chippings from the window. They let me know that she had lead poisoning. They did tell me that her lead level was so high they almost had to hospitalize her at one point. It's just, she's been hell on wheels. It's okay.
This is Shorty Low, one of my favorite rappers, because he be keeping it real. And they like, I wasn't like the other kids. I won't catch on as quick as them. And like, I can't concentrate on one thing too long. I tend, like, when stuff don't go my way or whatever, like, sometimes I tend to want to hurt myself or other people. When I couldn't get my way, I, like, tear down the whole bedroom. I break mirrors and everything. I'll pull my hair out. And then at the end, I be wishing I never did it, though. Like, when I went to prison for hitting that police officer, I ain't really mean to hit him. It was just, I don't know. Me and my old boyfriend, we was downtown at a restaurant in Arby's, and he was ordering his food, and the same cashier always get his order wrong. So he told her, like, get my money back. I'm tired of you. Every time I come here, you get my order wrong. So they were just going back and forth, and the police was in there. And when he grabbed me, he slapped one handcuff on me. And I was going crazy. I was kicking, screaming. I wouldn't let him get the other handcuff on me. So he slammed me and came down with his knee in my stomach. So I grabbed his belt and the collar of his shirt, and I flipped him on his head. And I was hitting him with my handcuff that was free. And then somehow he got me in the headlock. He was punching me in my head. We were just exchanging. At that point in time, I just wasn't thinking. And they got me 2 years in prison. My first time ever been in trouble, 18. It felt like you ain't never going nowhere. When your time gonna come?
She got a very short temper, very short attention span. Don't nothing hold her interest too long, nothing. But I tell you what she can do for hours and hours. She can just sit up and write for hours and hours. She loves to write.
I got a lot of stuff that I used to write. And when I wrote this, I was in Marysville.
Women's prison.
It's a women's prison. I was 20 years old. I was probably almost on my way home. I don't know, I just used to write so many and ain't put no dates on them. But this one, it say, I'm only 20 years old. I'm in prison because I fail to realize how much I love my family and how memories can hurt. I miss being 8 years old when I come home from school, the sound of my father's car picking me up. I miss watching cartoons with my big brother every morning before we go to school. I miss the smell of my cheeks that I used to wipe away when my mom would kiss me. I miss my brother brushing my hair when I was little. I miss the knob opening my bedroom. When my mom come home from work, there's no way I could tell you all the reasons not to come to prison and have to stay out of trouble on one page. But I can tell you this. The next time your grandma or mom kisses you and leaves lipstick on your cheeks, don't wipe it off. You might regret it in years to come. That's just the type of stuff that I used to write. And see, these obituaries of my friends that passed. This my friend, Mama. Her name is Bedrock. We call her Miss Betty. Her and my friend Lil Rodney got killed together. Somebody, she had opened up our door. Somebody had shot her and came in her house and shot everybody else that was in there.
Of the 250 people in the Cincinnati-led study LaQuisha takes part in, 9 have been killed in violent crime. To put that in perspective, this group is 650 times more likely to die in violent crime than the average American. Sitting in a pew after the service at Christ Emmanuel Church, Councilmember Cecil Thomas says that from his perspective, homicide and lead exposure seem to go hand in hand. But there's something else in the mix. It's no surprise to him that less than half of the study participants finished high school.
80% of the individuals that committed homicides did not finish high school, and 75% of those that were the victim had not finished high school. So there was a direct link between the education and violence. Then you go back to the question of, well, why is that young man not finishing school? Has the lead poisoning affected his ability to learn? So when we start looking at lead poisoning, yes, we are looking at maybe one of the causative factors to our violence in our city.
Lead exposure levels have gone down in Americans of all races, but African American children are still twice as likely as white children to suffer from lead poisoning, thanks to housing patterns and poor nutrition. And with statistics showing that black men are as likely to go to jail as to go to college, this latest research linking violent crime and lead raises key questions for society. There are many factors behind violence: home life, education, easy access to drugs and weapons. But a growing body of scientific evidence suggests lead also belongs on that list. Dr. Kim Dietrich of the University of Cincinnati likes to say that lead may not be the gun, so to speak, but it appears to be one factor that's helping to pull the trigger. For Living on Earth, I'm Ashley Ahern in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Coming up, The Old Man and the Storm, how an indomitable 80-year-old rebuilt his home after Hurricane Katrina. Stay tuned to Living on Earth.
Support for the Environmental Health Desk at Living on Earth comes from the Cedar Tree Foundation. Support also comes from the Richard and Rhoda Goldman Fund for coverage of population and the environment, and from Gilman Ordway for coverage of conservation and environmental change. This is Living on Earth on PRI, Public Radio International.